Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it. Now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
Shining, the birds were singing, and I want to give all praise to God on this beautiful day that he has allowed me to see, allowed me to be a part of. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Mural McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. Before I go any further, I'd like to just thank all the servants who participated in the revival behind the scenes, the speakers, everybody who did an awesome job. And I know God is well pleased with us being obedient to what God has called us to do. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So before I go any further, because I feel like fire, before I go any further, let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, merciful, glorious, loving, kind, beautiful, awesome, just out of the ordinary God. You are wonderful. You are magnificent. You are just mighty in all your ways. You are just so great. And we just give you praise and honor on today for your grace and your mercy and just for second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and so on chances. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us like we can't love ourselves. Thank you for giving us your son to take away all our filth and die for all our nastiness and to just die for the crud in us, Father. Oh, we glorify you with our praise. And Father, we're going to glorify you with our life and glorify you with our walk and glorify you with our talk and glorify you with behavior. We give praise unto you today, Father. We lift up our hands, Father, and we ask you to erase every filthy, foul thing from us. Evict those things that's not like you, God. Tear us down and build us up to who you called us to be. Bless our families, Lord. Bless our friends. Bless our enemies. Bless those that are still struggling, whatever they may be struggling with. And, Father, send someone their way to teach them about the goodness of the Lord. Because you are good and you are great. And Father, we need you, God. So we come together unified on today to give you praise, honor, and our love. We said these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I'm just everywhere on this day. I am so happy to be in the studio. It's just, oh my God, it's just whew, everywhere on my, I don't know if I probably got like a hopscotch spirit. You throw the rock, you're on Wednesday, and you throw the rock, then you're on Tuesday, and you till you get to the 10, and you turn all the way back around. That's how I feel. I just feel like moving forward in Christ. I just feel like moving on, like the song say, in Christ, amen. And before I get into my lesson, I just want to read something. And what I'm reading is just a little taste of what can defile a man. I'm not saying it's no individual. It's not put out for no one individual. It's not what I am saying. This is what the Bible says that will defile a man. And I don't know why I'm led this direction. I don't know why I was in worship and I was sitting and I was reading and I was enjoying the day and my wife. Thank you, First Lady, who made me an outstanding cup of tea. It was perfection. I mean, it wasn't too sweet. It wasn't too old, but it was nice and soothing. When it went in my spirit, I felt like something was going to grow in me. That's how good it tasted. So I thank you for being such a wonderful servant on this day. Amen. Glory to God. Turn with me real quick. Just remember what I said. We're just going to talk about some things that can defile a man. Amen. So the book of Matthew, chapter 15, we're going to start right at verse 1, and I'm just going to read it, but I want us to take it in. Take in what we need to take in. Take it in because these words have power, amen? I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because we do have a lesson, amen? Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy a young saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. Verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Hear me out. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defileth a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And glory to God. That's some instruction. That's some wisdom. That's some nuggets. And like I said, it's not for no in particular person. It just came into my spirit that sometimes we say things and it's not what we put in, it's but what we say out of our mouths. And a lot of times we praise God and worship God and talk good about God, but we are far from him in our hearts. And that's why I believe that a lot of times we always say we got a good heart, but the Bible just said, some of us just filled with all kind of things that's not of God. And I just believe that God wants us to be aware. Like, I love you guys enough, and I trust and I believe you, and I called you to do something for me. Just be careful. Watch what you say to people. Watch how you behave around other people. Watch how you proceed yourself around other people, making people feel bad and making you feel better because you are saved or because you know a little more, because you can pray a little better or you can teach or preach a little better. Those things are part of the defilement, okay? And I just wanted, like I said, there's nothing. It was just, and came to my spirit to just read that. Amen. So, I was everywhere today. And it was just a beautiful day. Amen. Thanks God. I want to, even after we read that, I want to talk about when we fail, or when we think we fail, or when the enemy put thoughts in our mind that we are failures, or however it may be, fall, backslidden. I want to talk about the failure being restored. I want to talk about a second chance, from failure to a second chance. I want to talk about complete restoration, and I want to talk about hope for us in this day and time. Amen. And I promise I won't be long. I promise I'm going to, you talk about the word of God. You get so caught up on how he has moved in your life, how he has moved things out of your life, people out of your life, and people back into your life, and how he has moved you out of people's lives. And a lot of times we run back to that thing that God has removed us and removed us and removed us and removed it from us, and we draw back to that thing, no matter what it may be. And I often wonder why and what is the magnet of that that pulls us, even being saved, even being saved for years, even being called, even being a leader, even being in ministry. We find ourselves being back into what we call the familiar worldly place. And I realize for me, it's a lack of multiple things. Not to say you're not praying, but you're not praying enough. Not to say I'm not worshiping, I'm not worshiping enough. You're not studying enough. You're not fasting enough. It's not, it has to override whatever your flesh is feeling, whatever your flesh is desiring. We have to press harder in our worship, press harder in our prayer and our study time, because those are the things that removes the filth from us. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to be saved. It's a beautiful thing to be called by God to do a work. And it's a beautiful thing to know that God loves you and adores you. But we have to understand, like all things, our grace can run out. Our favor can run out. And it can run out at that time when we are at our worst, when we are where we're not supposed to be, when we are doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, when we are operating in a spirit that we're not supposed to be operating in, the grace and favor could run out. The heavenly door could shut. The heavens could shut. Your prayers now are bouncing back off the sky. It is bouncing off the ceiling. And we don't want to be to a place like that. We have to get back to where we know. Not where I know for you and not where you know for me, but where we know for ourselves where Christ has called us to be and where he wants us to be. And the first thing I've learned about that for me is stay in commune with Christ, because if I can't hear from him, if I can't talk to him, and if I can't listen to him, I won't know what he wants from me. The Bible is filled with so much information. It is so filled with just preparing us and girding us and watching over us. But if I don't get in there to get everything he has for me, it might be that one flip up, that one walk, that one turn of the wrong corner. I might get in the car that wrong day, and God said, don't get in your car today. Whatever it may be, we just got to get back, because people are waiting for our prayers. We're going to talk about that before we close. Me and First Lady was talking about it earlier, and we're trying to, if nobody's telling you have to, but if you would like to participate with us and touch and agree with us, on midnight, every night for 30 days, we're going to pray for the nations. We're going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit lead you in prayer, let the Holy Spirit guide you in prayer. But it's not, if you don't want to commit to it, you don't have to. We're not doing it for prestige. We're not doing it to be heard. We're doing it for the nation. We're doing it for the leaders. We're doing it for the sufferers. We're doing it for everybody. We're coming together. So if you want to, all are welcome, but we're doing it. Prayer for the nations. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God. Suppose you heard the gospel and responded in faith, believing in Jesus as your Savior. When someone offered you an opportunity for Christian service, you jumped at the chance, and things went fine for a while. You were learning and growing, but at the time, for some reason, whatever the reason may have been, you dropped out. Others pushed ahead. Others moved before you. Others kept going. Others kept in the race, but you quit. And you've been feeling a little guilty ever since you quit. Would God ever be able to use you in his service again? Mark, in the book of Mark, the author of Mark, he could certainly identify with that scenario. And those questions, he earned the reputation of being unreliable after dropping out of his first significant ministry opportunity. But he also learned the blessing of a second chance and God's restoration. It's never too late. I don't care how many times you fell. I don't care how many times you fell in short. Or God will restore us if we allow him to. God loves us. And if he called us to do a thing, we just have to stay rooted. You know, they say Mark was labeled. He was labeled. Ain't that something? He had a label on him as a quitter. He had a reputation of being unreliable. I need you to open the church, but you're not there. I need you to vacuum the carpet. You didn't show up. I needed you to lead praise and worship. You didn't show up. I needed you to open up in prayer. You wasn't prepared. I needed you to come give a word. You wasn't ready. I needed you to go down to the soup kitchen. Minister. Unreliable. You give your word, you promise, and you say you're going to do this, and you say you're going to do that. We don't do it. We're unreliable. And some of us, I just believe some of us, wherever in this world, are unreliable sometimes. And that's why we'll fall short. That's why instead of 16 people getting saved or a whole family getting saved, we're only getting one. But we don't get the family. Oh, nobody gets saved. Because it takes all of us to make the body. No one person can do it all. God has called all of us and gave all of us a calling. He gave all of us strength. And we got to remember that Jesus went on that cross and gave his life. Even before the cross. The deception and the lies and the spitting on and just the torments and everything he went through, knowing that he never done anything wrong and knowing he had to get through this so we'll be in position to sacrifice our own life for somebody else. He died on the cross. He died on the cross. You hear me? He gave his life. He paid it all. We always say, oh, when you're sure, oh, God paid it all. No, he paid it with his life for us to do better, for us to live better, talk better, love one another better, love a stranger better, love thy neighbor. And who is the neighbor? Anybody. Anybody who knows Christ or anybody who don't know Christ, we are to share the gospel. We are to share love. We are to share wealth. We are to share wisdom. We are to share food. We are to be mirror images of Christ, even in the suffering. Even in the suffering. We want all the glory. We want all the wisdom. We want all the power. We don't want the suffering. He loves us enough to give his life and then give us a second and third chance. My point in saying all this, if you fall short, if you're falling short, don't let the enemy tell you you're worthless. Don't let nobody tell you you can't be used no more. Don't let nobody tell you it's too late. Don't let nobody say no. You can't, he can't use you. Don't do that because that is not of God. Amen? That is not of God. Hallelujah. I just wish I could help everybody be saved and really know Jesus and that we all could just worship and call on Jesus' name together and thank him for everything he's ever done for us. I just wish that I had that kind of power. But because I don't, I have enough, a little understanding and a little wisdom of God to just sit here and do what God told me to do, share the gospel. From failure to a second chance. Because we first read of Mark in the book of Acts when Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Peter, after Peter miraculously released from Herod's prison, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 12:12, just so I know that you know that I'm backing it up with scripture. I am not making it up on my own. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 12. Amen. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered after praying. Amen. After praying, believers in Jerusalem would often meet at Mary's home to pray. Mark must have demonstrated some useful abilities and gifts, as well as a willing spirit as he accompanied them. Amen. And that's in chapter book of Acts, chapter 12, down in verse, if you go down in verse 25, it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now they seen something in him. They seen something in him. And they took him out to minister with him. They took him out to do to share the gospel with him. They took him out. Sometimes people see something in you. Sometimes people see in you what you don't see in yourself. Be it good or bad and indifferent. But a lot of times I can speak for me. I'm always guilty of this one. It seems like I always can talk to other people and always help other people and always be there for other people. And I've been told that I don't see. It's been told a few different ways, you know. If only you really know, okay, because like I say, people can see in you what you can't see in you, and I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Like, you know, you may think that you're just a deacon, but God may show somebody like you much more, and you had to start believing that you're much more and walking in the much more. You just can't settle for just being a deacon all the time. You can't settle for just cleaning the bathrooms when you're a supervisor. You can't just settle for being a girlfriend when you're a queen and you're a wife and you're a treasure. You understand what I'm saying? We have to understand that people see things in us, and we have to, especially anointed people. Like I've learned to really one of the things I really respect is the office of apostles. Not to say I don't respect anybody else's office, but when I read up on that and I read how God loved them and God chose them and God has instructions for them to show up and bring correction and, you know, speak thus saith the Lord and move out or whatever. And that particular office come with, oh my God, such, it's costly. Don't just think that when you see apostles and those great and those leaders that they just got that. They went through. And I'm surprised a few of them ain't, what they went through, you know what I mean? And it's not an easy office. No office is easy, but we got to get to the point where we understand that we are not failures. No matter what we've done in our past, no matter what you've done before you were saved, no matter what you've done while you were saved, we're not failures. God, everything, the Bible says, everything God made is good. So God created us in his image. We're good. It's just that some of our ways are not like God's ways, and we just have to transform ourselves, to transform the renewing of our mind into God's ways and not ours. Amen? For when Paul, make sure trying to give the information right. For Paul and Barnabas left on their first missionary journey, they took Mark with them as their assistant. And like I said, I have to read scripture. I think it's in Acts 13:5, verifies. And when they were at Salamis, the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. This was a great opportunity for the young man living and working alongside a great apostle. Wow, see, working alongside not just an apostle, but a great apostle, meaning that they was doing what they were supposed to be doing. They was living the lifestyle they were supposed to be living. You know, because the Bible said, I didn't say it, the Bible said a great apostle. You know what I mean? And God loves us. Like, I don't want nobody selling themselves short. I don't want none of us thinking that we're less than. It's not possible. We can make bad decisions. We just have to repent, confess them to God, and move on and do right. But we cannot give up. We cannot give up. The book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, verifies what I was just talking about. Oh, Lord, I can't pronounce some of these words. God, forgive me. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son of Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. See, and even in that, even in Paul in prison, but even wherever you may be at, God has assignments for us to be certain places, to go certain places, and do certain things. Be where you're supposed to be. So when God sends the individual, we're there to receive the man or woman of God. If God sends one to your house, be the host, be the hostess. Treat them like royalty. Don't send them up the street to the hotel. Don't keep giving them McDonald's. Feed them. Cook home cooked meal. Fellowship. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. Make sure they're comfortable. We are all royalty. And there's going to be times when we have to go places. And you don't want nobody putting you up in the hotel, telling you I could tell you a story about some stuff. But you don't want people doing that. We're royalty, and we got to treat people like, listen, we ought to treat God's people like royalty. Because when we in the world, whoever the coolest person you think is, he can come or she can come to your house, you'll treat them like kings and queens. And the average person who is just an average person, you treat them like trash. But in the kingdom of God, we are all equal in a sense of we have to love our brother and our sister. We have to honor each other with the love of the Lord. You can't get somebody out. Oh, they ain't staying in my house. They've been here too long. They ain't coming around here. Oh, they can't fellowship here. They can't throw that here. They can't come in this church. That's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be finding the good in each other. We're supposed to be finding the best in each other. And even if we fall short, we're supposed to pick. Listen, I think about the old saints. And I can't remember a time as a child where I've seen any of them sisters, them Bible-toting, always praying, always got their hat on, sisters, women of God, never seen them talk down to nobody. I've never seen them tell somebody they're going to hell. I never seen them say they're not praying. I remember them knocking on doors. I remember them bringing food. I remember them bringing pies. I remember them sitting on the step talking and ministering. I remember them walking up and down the street giving out tracts. I remember in any neighborhood, and they had so much, they were real and they were truthful, and people needed and respected them. A lot of people don't respect the gospel no more because some of our behaviors. Some of the leaders' behavior, some of the things they see. And I'm not using that for an excuse for them not to accept the gospel, but the real is if you tell me you're a mechanic and I see you somewhere and you don't know how to fix a car, I'm not going to bring my car to you. You tell me, I was watching the movie, I don't even want to bring up the movie, but her father as a pastor, he was out there. Like, but it was, I don't know if it was acceptable, which I don't think it was, but everybody did everything with him and still went to his church. So how many souls did you think was really won in that situation? Was there any souls really won? But even him, God can fix it. God could fix it. There's always a second chance. There's always restoration. That's just my point for saying the things I'm saying. There's no room for quitting. There's no room. There's nothing so bad that God won't forgive us. I'm going to keep on because, I like I said, I wasn't going to be long. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Alongside great apostles and his cousin Barnabas, but not too far into the trip, Mark deserted Paul and his companion and returned to Jerusalem. Ain't that something? Wow. Ain't that something? In the middle of the trip, you desert me and go back? Now, I know that's a lot of feeling there, but what I also know is people who doing the work, they going to keep on keeping on. They going to keep on keeping on. They going to pray for whoever it is, traveling mercies, but we got to continue because those things ain't quitting. They know that God calls them to do something. They just pray that that individual who deserted them get home safe, and we're going to pray for them when we get back what God has called us to do something. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 13, verse 13 said, now when Paul and his companion loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem, deserted them. Amen. I'm going to try to get through to this, so I hope it's okay if I just give you the scriptures and you can read them. But I want us to get this understanding. Amen. It says, we aren't given any reason for his turning back, but it may well have been that things just got too tough for him. In any event, Paul was bothered. See, that bothered somebody. Paul was bothered by Mark's decision and came to regard him as unreliable. When Paul decided to take another missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to give Mark another chance to prove himself. But Paul was unwilling. And if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 15, 37 through 38, you'll find that. Paul chose Silas as a companion in his work instead. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Barnabas became Mark's mentor, encourager. He knew Mark's heart and had faith in him. A lot of times we give up on the individual because they make a mistake. We turn our back on them. We leave them right there where they at. We leave them in their suffering. We leave them in their despair. We leave them when they need us the most, and we turn our backs. I ain't got time to pray for him. He ought to know how to pray for himself. He shouldn't have did what he did in the first place. He been serving the Lord all this time. We are human. The Bible says we all fall short daily. We all fall short. And if you had to fall short 50 times, I should be there to pick you up 50 times. I think it's when Peter was talking to Jesus about how many times should we forgive our brother. What, seven times seven? 70? It amazed me how we can find it in our heart. Matter of fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, and when Peter said, how often will my brother sin against me and I should forgive him? And I think Jesus said, as many as seven times. I don't say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. That's how I go. Thank you, Jesus. 70 times seven. Hallelujah. I just want to make sure I do try to the best of my ability to say things and do things right. Amen. And we cannot, one of my favorite slogans in the men's ministry and in the Great Commission, men's ministry is we will leave no man behind. We won't. I don't care. See, I believe like this. This is just me. I believe that I don't have no room anyway. I don't have no room anyway to tell somebody I'm washing my hands with you. I'm done with you. I just don't believe it. I just don't believe that we should do that. I just don't believe I could. Because in the world, people that you know was crooks, you know they was doing all kind of crazy stuff with you, you would give your life for them and wasn't even living right and know they was wrong. But now we saved and we know better. But I'm just tired. We're going to go to a song and we'll be right back.
I just want to make it to heaven. I just want to make it in. Oh, I just want to cross that river.
My Lord,
I want to be free from sin.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well done, my son. Whew! just thinking about that, that's enough to make you just shout and jump around right now for me. Like, just to think about your life and your past and every crazy thing you ever done, and being saved and being delivered, and God using you and working and suffering and going up, going down, and everything that you go through being saved, but doing it honorably, doing it for real, and not being a hypocrite, and really doing it, and get to that point when you go to sleep and you wake up and Jesus is just sitting right there smiling with open arms saying, "Well done, my son." You may have fell that day. You might have stumbled that day. You might have did this that day. Oh, but you stayed on the trail. Oh, you loved me. You worshiped me. You were sincere. You did what I told you to do. You gave me my glory. You didn't steal my glory. You didn't lead my people to sin. You led them to me. Oh, my God. It's just a big old story of just how I got to get there. I got to get there. Hallelujah. I got to get there. Let me try to complete this. We're going to go right back and continue into complete restoration. When Barnabas, his confidence in Mark paid off. Approximately 10 years later, Paul wrote a letter from prison to a man named Philemon. Paul sent greetings from several men, including Mark, whom Paul referred to as his fellow laborer. And that's in the book of Philemon, chapter 24. During Paul's second imprisonment in Rome, Paul wrote to Timothy and asked him to take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me. Now you want to bring him with him. He didn't like him early, but 10 years went by. Bring him to me. He is profitable to me. For the ministry, at this point, Paul had so much confidence in Mark that he actually requested the assistance of this one-time deserter. Chapter 4, verse 11 in 2 Timothy, you can find it. Amen. And but Barnabas' second chance, God's restoring work, and Mark's faithful response had led Paul to regain his confidence in Mark. What a change. What a turnaround. The Apostle Peter gave a strong indication that Mark did indeed make that journey to Rome to be with Paul during his final days. And it is very possible that Mark developed a close relationship with Peter as well, since Peter later referred to him as his son. And if you don't believe me, go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Here's somebody who called you a deserter, had nothing to want and nothing to do with you, but you kept on pressing. You didn't worry about what he said. You didn't worry about what they said. You didn't worry about the lies they told on you. You didn't worry about nothing. You kept on pressing toward the mark. You just kept on doing what God has called you to do. You just kept on doing it, and you just kept on trusting and believing, and you just kept on, and one day you get a letter. That's so touching. Not only did the letter come, but bring him. And then he referred to him as his son. Hallelujah. Oh, that's oh my God. I love that. I love that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if y'all feel that like I feel it, but I feel that. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so doeth Marcus, my son. And that's the conclusion of that benediction. Ain't that something? That's crazy. Oh, my God. Can I just read that one more time? Can I just read it one more time? Barnabas' confidence in Mark paid off.
approximately 10 years later, Paul wrote a letter from prison to a man named Philemon. Paul sent greetings from several men, including Mark, whom Paul referred to as his fellow laborer. During Paul's second imprisonment in Rome, Paul wrote to Timothy and asked him to take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And at this point, Paul had so much confidence in Mark. Now, 10 years go by. Paul's in prison. He's all these other places. So somehow he's getting this information. Goodness, that Mark is doing. Somehow he's finding out. Like, the word is going forth. Like, he's still pushing. He's still serving the Lord. He's still leading souls to God. He's still preaching the gospel. He's still standing strong. He's still moving. And that's encouragement to someone seeing you from the beginning and watch you grow and watch you fall, but you don't give up, and they watch you. And that's encouraging. It was so encouraging. He called this young man his son. At this point, Paul has so much confidence in Mark that he actually requested the assistance of this one-time deserter, Barnabas' second chance, God restoring work. And Mark's faithful response had led Paul to regain his confidence in Mark. And that's part of the reason he called him, that second chance. If he wouldn't have gave him a second chance, if Barnabas would have gave up on him, if he didn't get that second chance, who knows how he would have, what would have probably happened? Would he have given up on himself? Would, like most of us, nobody cares, nobody want to support me, nobody trust me, okay, I made a mistake, I don't have nobody, I'm done with this. But no, Barnabas, some of us have to be Barnabas. We have to just find it in our hearts to give somebody another chance, because that day going to come that we might need that second chance. The Apostle Peter gives a strong indication that Mark did indeed make the journey to Rome to be with Paul during his final days. Wow, I wonder what their conversations was about. I wonder what they laughed about, what they prayed about, what they cried about. Did they hug and fellowship? Did they ask for forgiveness? Did one forgive the other? Did the other one just, oh my God, can you imagine what that must have been like, sitting there in Paul's cell? And it was very possible that Mark developed a close relationship with Peter as well, since Peter later referred to him as his son. Ain't that some whole crazy Peter? Wow. Hey, man, this is just... In closing, I just want to give us some hope for today. Because in our day, Mark's story stands as a beacon of hope. Though Mark failed at a key point to be the devoted disciple he wanted to be. Not to say that God called him at that time to be. That's what he wanted to be. He was given a second chance and was fully restored. If Mark could fail the apostle, Paul, but later be restored to a position as a valued co-minister, we can be restored from failure as well. See, Mark proves that failure isn't final. Write that down. Failure isn't final. Sound like a t-shirt to me. Most of us will need many second chances over the course of a lifetime. Woo! Most of us will need many second chances over the course of a lifetime. Some things can never be undone or redone, but we can pick up from where we failed and move forward. Maybe someone has failed you. Maybe you share Paul's view that that person is unreliable and offered him a second chance and a failure. Maybe you think that person is unreliable, and a failure. Think what might have happened to Mark if Barnabas had not come to his rescue and offered him a second chance. Mark, I just said that. Mark might have become consumed by guilt and self-doubt that his future effectiveness in ministry would have been greatly impaired. Jesus Christ always sees the potential in us, and he's always willing and waiting to offer us a second chance. We all need someone to believe in us. Can you hold out a second chance to that one who has failed you? Jesus touched Mark's life forever with a second chance, and Mark finished his life as a faithful servant rather than a failure. With God working in us, may we be willing to grant second chances as well as admit our own need for them. As we become the men and women of God, as we become the men and women of God that God wants us to be. Remember, you never know. You might need a second chance. This has been your Fix It Six, and I have also been your host and hopefully continue to be your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. And I will be here with you on Mondays from 6 to 7. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. On Tuesdays, we have Bishop Thurman Butlers from Undisputed Truth Ministry. Amen. Glory to God. On Wednesday, we have Lady T with our weekend workout from Undisputed Ministries. And on Thursday, she may be new to the show, but not new to gospel, not new to Christ, and not new to singing the gospel. She's going to sing for us one day. Amen. We have Pastor Ilona Waters. Amen. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We welcome you with the love of the Lord. We welcome you with our MCI ministry. Hug, shout, praise. We love you, love you, love you, love you. And on Friday, I don't know who might be sitting at Fresh Fire Friday. It might be me. It might be First Lady Apostle Dr. Callan McNeil. It might be you. It might be a guest. I don't know. But we thank you all for coming and supporting the ministry. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we love you with the love of the Lord. And I'd like to thank First Lady, who's doing a mighty, mighty job producing, directing, making announcements. She's just doing so many things in the studio behind the scenes. And if you haven't noticed, go to one of her pages, Apostle Callan McNeil Global Ministry, Broken But Not Forsaken. She has many pages. She has the most loveliest anointed T-shirts ever. They are prayed over. They are touched. They're spoken life over. They're spoken prosperity over. They're not just T-shirts. They are anointed by the grace and the pure love of the Lord. And she's doing such an outstanding job in designing, delivering. And when I say, if you haven't got one, please get with her. CMC. EIL222@yahoo.com. She's doing an awesome, awesome job. And please support her. It's ministry. It's not just, listen. They're not just T-shirts, honestly. This is ministry. We're spreading the gospel through looking good, through beauty, through outstanding. You know, because the world can wear stuff and they can talk about it and, oh, that looks nice. As Christians, we can look good and still have scriptures. We can look good and still share the gospel. And that's what it's about. Like I say, they are prayed over. They are anointed. They're spoken over. Prosperity, wealth, wisdom, understanding. And she's doing such an awesome job. So with that being said, I thank you all for joining us on this Monday evening. And until we meet again. May the blessings of the Lord be upon you, and may his wisdom walk with you, and may the blood continue to fall upon you, and may we continue to give someone a second chance. Father God, we thank you for coming into our homes. We thank you for coming into our airways. We thank you for coming to us and allowing us to come to you and allowing us to have another chance to speak to you, allow us to have another chance to praise you, allowing us to have another chance to worship you. We thank you for the spirit of restoration. We thank you for keeping us when we couldn't keep ourselves. We thank you, God. Now keep the storms away from us, God, but show us how to be a storm for you, God, against the enemy. We love you and we praise you. We ask you to bless our family, friends, loved ones, our enemies, and those that are far, far away. We continue to pray for the nations in the midnight hour. Wake us up, Father, and give us words of encouragement. Give us words to speak in the atmosphere to you, God, and let it manifest for change. We said these things in Jesus' name. We've prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. And as always, we have a song. Hallelujah. We're not going to let you go like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. We just thank you. It is just so amazing. Hallelujah.
1, 2, 3, say. You might as well go ahead and get your dance on. Jesus, be up in I know you can,
yes,
I know you will.
Keep up and
say,
keep up and all around.
Are you my boy? Get your dance on. Come on. Be a fisherman. Say. Cause I need protection.
Protect.
A protection.
Protect.
A protection.
Protect.
A longer.
Protection.
Protect. A protection.
Protect.
A protection.
Protect.
A longer.
Good night.